Thanks so much for listening to this clip of Reception Perception. New episodes release Tuesdays and Thursdays.
This is Reception Perception, the show. James Coe and Matt Harmon.
Hey, can we transition here? We'll stay in the AFC East here, going from the Bills to the New England Patriots here. Was a time here, Matt, when I was asking about Jalen Polk, and he said, oh, Jalen Polk looks kind of fine. And this was very early on in the season. I have to imagine that he has been anything but fine, especially over the last 4 weeks of the season. I mean, my goodness, last month, anytime I go and turn on, you know, Jalen Polk film, like, what? I don't know what's going on here. First of all, very strange usage, I think, very strange routes that they're having him run there in New England, but he's certainly not helping himself, and he looks all kinds of out of sorts right now. But Jalen Polk featured on the rookie roundup here as well. What does some of the data suggest?
Yeah, Jalen Polk, 15 routes on Sunday, no catches, but he did have a false start on a play that Gerard Mayo said afterwards, I was no doubt in my mind that would have been a touchdown had Jalen Polk not committed a false start. So,
ouch.
Ouch. He's not been in the coach's good graces this year. But I have a lot of thoughts about this stuff. And like I said this in the rookie report, Jalen Polk's rookie season, it makes me feel like I am a crazy person for two reasons.
Okay.
One, because I, for the life of me, do not understand what the fucking plan was with Jalen Polk.
Explain. I mean, what do you mean? What do you mean?
because go back and listen to anything that we said about Polk on the podcast. Go back and read his prospect profile.
Yeah.
The guy lined up as an off-ball player, right, as a flanker who moved into the slot at times. Almost, I think, 36, somewhere between 35 and 40% of his sampled snaps were in the slot. And he had some really interesting work as that slot receiver. But he's a flanker slot type of player. In New England, in the rookie report, he lined up on a whopping 84.9% of his sampled snaps were outside, and he was on the line of scrimmage for 68.2%. And
wow.
Thank God that we have one. So, okay, if you look back at Jalen Polk's season, you know, he started getting playing time, right? We know that. And, you know, this is when we talked about him on the show. Like, oh, he's getting some playing time. Drake May's about to get onto the field. Okay, he's definitely making mistakes, dropping passes and stuff like that. But, like, okay, the separation against zone coverage is pretty solid. He's pretty solid zone beater. But why are they lining him up at X receiver? That's weird. And that's pretty much, like, the games I sampled early on were week 4, week 5, and then week 7 against the Jags. And then after that week 7 against the Jags, he was basically banished for several weeks because he dropped a bunch of passes. He made errors in contested situations. And then he like yapped about it on Instagram afterwards, which, tough look, Jalen Polk. Come on, dude. You're a rookie and you're making mistakes out there.
Right.
Don't go full diva on Instagram, bro. Give me a break. He comes back, though. The next game I sampled was week 10.
Okay.
Which he only played 26 snaps, but he did catch a touchdown on his lone target of the day. And suddenly in that game, we're starting to see different deployment. We're starting to see off the line of scrimmage. We're starting to see flanker stuff. We're starting to see some reps in the slot because Kayshon Booty has emerged as their X receiver. So thank God I got that fourth game sample in there, because before that it was all outside on the line of scrimmage stuff, which, that's again, bizarre. It's so bizarre because that wasn't how he was used at all in college. And just among players sampled for the rookie report, the two guys that took the fewest snaps in the slot, of course, is Keon Coleman. Second is Jalen Polk. And what are we talking about here? Why is this Jalen Polk's usage? Like, he was not this player in college. Why would he be used this way in the NFL? So that was driving me crazy. Mm-hmm. Then you look at like the routes that he is asked to run. As you mentioned, he's running a 9 route on 20.6% of his sample routes.
What?
Quarter route, 6.9%. This makes no sense. He's not a vertical dunk on you receiver. Like, you're getting a bunch of targets in contested situations. He's obviously making errors in those contested situations.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But it's weird. And that's the other part of this that makes me feel crazy, because what was the conversation we had about Quentin Johnson all last year? set up to fail in that usage. There was nothing in his college film indicated he could go out there and play X receiver. Mm-hmm. However, when you're just making a bunch of mistakes and you're dropping passes and stuff like that, it's not as if you're screaming to the coaches like, hey, I need role catering. You need to cater to me, okay? Which is sort of like it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and like things start to slip away very quickly because Polk is out here, and this is what's so weird because, yeah, Quentin Johnson dropping passes, stuff like that as a rookie. Wow, he did that in college. The two things I loved about Jalen Polk as a prospect was he was a dirty work guy because he loved to get in there and mix it up in the run game, and he had great hands. Well, his blocking sucks, and he can't catch in the pros. What's up with that? What's up with that? So it's like it's hard to cape up for Polk because he has been such a disaster at the catch point, and then he's probably he's probably pissed off the coaching staff about it by complaining and stuff like that. So it's tough to cape up for him. But the reason I wanted to talk about this is because it's just a good example of how wide receivers can be misused and misdeployed, and then they're like, who knows what happens to Jalen Polk now? I made the comparison to Jonathan Mingo from last year's rookie report, and that he was a guy that I liked in one specific role. And we just talked about Mingo a few episodes ago because he got traded to the Cowboys. And I don't know, again, we're recording this after Monday Night Football. Maybe Mingo has 100 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Texans. Tend to doubt it, but you never know. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
But this is a guy traded in the middle of his second season. After being a second round pick, because I think he was misdeployed in his first year and he was terrible in that role. And I kind of think the same thing is happening to Jalen Polk. So it's just an example of how things can slip away very, very quickly. And like, there are all these kind of what if stories across the NFL at this position.
God, first of all, let me just say this. Jalen Polk has not caught a single pass of over 20 yards this season. Not a one. As a matter of fact, he only has one. He's got one reception over 15 yards. That is insane. So that's a little crazy. Okay. Now, that being said, remember at the beginning of the season too, Matt, we were praising, I don't know if it was you. I know I was praising New England by saying, dude, I think they actually had a good wide receiver draft.
Oh,
randomly.
Same. Yeah. I was, you know, 100%
like,
I was,
I'm like, okay, Jalen Polk is pretty good. They got this guy, you know, not in the first round. It's great. And then they go, I think it was in the fourth round, they go get Javon Baker. I'm like, this is interesting. This is an interesting set of young wide receivers they've got. You pair that with Demario Douglas. What's up with Kendrick Bourne? Can he come back and play here? And I was thinking, you know, that little quartet of receivers could be really, really interesting. And fast forward to week 11, and Javon Baker cannot get on the football field. He's pissed off the coaches as well. He's had some, you know, things that are happening off the football field. Jalen Polk is obviously, you know, doing some things off the football field that's, you know, upsetting some of the coaches here as well. And, man, I just feel like the Patriots are back to square one because here comes Kendrick Bourne. Kendrick Bourne was their most productive player again there in week 11. I'm like, man, no matter how many different things change, it's always just the same. I mean, this room feels exactly the same as it did in 2023, which is nuts.
Yep, and meanwhile, in the last 4 weeks, Kayshon Boutte has run by far the most routes on the team. 96.3% of the routes, the dropbacks he has run a route on the last 4 weeks. And, you know, he's been their X receiver. He's been a vertical guy for them. And I don't really think there's any – I was never that big on Kayshon Boutte. Maybe I end up being wrong, but I don't really think there's anything there. So that's bizarre. It does feel like, okay, they're going to scrap all this and they'll start at – ground zero with the wide receiver room next year. And you know, when you have Drake May's played well, you probably don't want to, like, let's cross our fingers and hope Jalen Polk can figure it out. Let's see if Javon Baker, he gets in camp and he's ready to rock or any of that stuff. They'll probably make a big move. Like, T. Higgins will probably be a Patriot next year. They'll probably take another guy in the second round and, like, see what happens here. But I think, which is the right thing to do, by the way. Again, we don't want to leave things to chance when we have the Texans got a great season out of Nico Collins and Tank Dell, and they still went out and got Stephon Diggs. Like, that's how you should do it with a young quarterback who shows that they have it. I think Drake May has shown, he's not been perfect, but I think he's shown that he has it. So why not just throw resources at this room in the offseason? That's probably what they'll do. But yeah, I think some of our takes about the Patriots wide receiver draft might end up aging pretty poorly.
There you go. By the way, Kayshon Booty, man, like you mentioned it. I mean, I didn't even talk about it. Yeah, he's been running a ton of routes. He's not getting targeted all that much. He's been playing the most snaps of all the receivers there, certainly over the last 3 weeks here for New England. Buddy, I mean, at this point, it's what's crazy about the Kayshon Booty usage over the last, especially over the last 3 weeks, I guess we could say over the last month, this dude was on the roster bubble. I mean, people were talking about him not making the team, and now he's an integral part. I mean, you could make the case he's, you know, an every down receiver for the New England Patriots. What? I don't understand that. And oh, by the way, Tyquan Thornton. Remember Tyquan Thornton, this guy? I know when I got these reports, my eyebrows were raised. I'm like, there ain't no way, man. But like, you know, the beat reporters were trying to sell us on Tyquan Thornton being the starting X receiver for New England. I'm like, oh my gosh, there is just no way.
They were right. I mean, in the first 2 weeks of the season, he was the third most like on the field player for them. So they were, whether it was going to be good or not is a separate discussion. I mean, spoiler alert, it was never going to be good, but he was in the first. This is how much this wide receiver room has been a moving target.
I know.
Is that there's been like six different phases of the wide receiver room this year. Because in the first 2 weeks of the season, Tyquan Thornton ran 40 routes, which was third most on the team.
That's crazy. That's insane. Oh, by the way, talk about just how shifting this roster is, too. I mean, we didn't even talk about the running backs. I know Ramondre's been great for them, but even their backup, you know, they bring in Antonio Gibson, and all of a sudden, Jamichael Hasty out of nowhere has now kind of sort of supplanted Antonio Gibson as a number two. I don't know. And obviously there's been a lot of moving parts on the offensive line. Not that they wanted to do that, but certainly injuries have played a part. But I don't know, man. The New England Patriots right now, I like Jerod Mayo, but it does not seem as if they have a handle on growth. It definitely does not seem like they've got a handle on their roster and talent evaluation. I think self-scouting, Matt, is real bad in New England right now.
Yeah, we'll see. It's tough. Like, they're 3-8. They've been competitive with rookie quarterback Drake May. Has been good for them for the most part. But yeah, I mean, it's not a good roster. I don't know what people are expecting there. But yeah, I think that's just discovery mode for the rest of the year. Like, can any of these guys compete? You know, can any of these guys contribute next year with Drake May? Because I do think it would be almost regardless of what we get. And yeah, I'm not completely willing to give up on Jalen Polk, although he really could, there could not be anybody more in their own way, because I do think he would be a useful, like, his success rate versus zone's solid. You know, he's not it's not special or anything like that. There's nothing in his rookie, let me put it this way, there's nothing in his rookie report data that's like, oh yeah, they just unlocked Jalen Polk, like everything's going to be A-okay for the Patriots. But I do think there are some indicators that he could be like a flanker slot role player type, which is what I imagine him to be in the NFL, like a useful player. We haven't gotten any of that, and there's just like, but I could see him maybe contributing in a different role. I would like to see Javon Baker, but I tend to doubt that happens at this point. It almost regardless of what happens rest of the season, it would be irresponsible to not go all in on improving the pass catchers around Drake May next year.